Good morning. So great to be back worshiping the Lord. As I was sitting there and Kason played that last song, Be Glorified Today. You know, that's what we're here to do. That's what these graduates here are here showing the first part of their life. We have seen God to be glorified in their life. And we wanted to continue to see that and grow. So this morning's message, as I was trying to prepare something to give them wisdom and knowledge, you know, like the skit guy said, eat your vegetables. It's good. That will always, you know, your parents from your birth until now have told you, eat your vegetables. Well, it's true. And sometimes we as adults need that reminder more often. So this morning, what we're going to look at is we're going to look at Proverbs 4. So if you would go ahead and start turning to Proverbs 4, we're going to go ahead and read all the way through Proverbs 4. It starts out with words of wisdom. Same thing as Mike was saying, that wisdom comes from the Lord and comes from the Lord alone. So Proverbs 4 says, "Hear, O son, the instructions of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding, for I give you sound teaching. I do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my word, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. And begin the wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is acquiring wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you in you if you embrace her. She will place you on her head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Hear, my son, accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the ways of wisdom. I have led you in an upright path. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded, and if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sheep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wicked and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Verse 23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the spring of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devour speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Turn your foot from evil. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, as we come to you today in your word, may your words be spoken here. May you penetrate our hearts, change our spirits, change our thoughts. Lord, may we truly hear from you today and not me. Lord, we thank you for these graduates. Their endeavor is just beginning. May their foothold be on your foundation and your foundation alone. And may they not be wavering on the world. We thank you, Lord, in all this, in your name. Amen. So we're going to take and walk through all of Proverbs 4 from the very beginning to the end. Any of you want to believe that? Because I know my youth won't believe that because we'll be here all day. No, and what they really won't believe is there's only one verse out of all of these that I want to focus on this morning. And it will be verse 23. But I do want to give you a real quick breakdown of Proverbs 4. The overall theme of Proverbs, just like Mike had talked about, is wisdom. All Proverbs revert back to wisdom, and it's godly wisdom. It's not wisdom of our own. So the breakdown of 4 looks like this that I can see. Verses 1 through 13 in Proverbs 4 is always seek godly wisdom. Never seek human wisdom. Never seek the wisdom of the world. Always seek godly wisdom. Verse 2 says, for I give you sound teaching. I do not abandon my teaching. Verse 5, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the word of my mouth. God's word. So what does wisdom bring you? It should bring godly wisdom, should bring exalting and honoring of God in all things. Verses 8 and 9, prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of glory. These are the words. They tell us exactly what they mean. This wisdom will exalt God. 14 through 22 is the warning of the wicked path, the warning of the flesh, of following the things that we should not be looking at, the darkness, the path away from God. Verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not proceed in the way of the evil man. Verse 18 is the contrast in this. It says, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. I mean, what evidence do we have today? I mean, turn on the news. These that are out there rioting, picketing, and all of these things, are they seeking godly wisdom? God has words to say about every one of these things, but yet they stay in the dark. God says, come to me, I have the light, the hope. What we see on the other side is a lack of hope, a lack of a promise of eternal life, being able to worship with the true God. And then we look at the last verses, 23 through 27, which we're going to look at verse 23 in depth. And I believe that verse 23 is the very spot that all of this flows from. It says, watch and guard over your heart. Verse 24, watch your lips. Verse 25, watch your eyes. Verse 26, watch your step. Verse 27, your direction. How much more poignant can those things be in our life? Those words are here, the source of all truth. Verse 23, the verse that we're going to look at today. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the spring of life. This heart here is not our physical heart, not the thing that beats the blood, but it is a representation of that because the heart and the body is the source of our physical living. Without our heart and our body, we would not be alive. Take the blood out of our body, we would be dead. But this, in these words, is the very meaning the very core of us. It's your thoughts, your soul, your imagination. From it, everything flows like that river. This is something that's on the inside. This is not an external view. This is something that is only you and God know what truly flows from in. Picture your heart as a reservoir of water that is filled up. And it flows from it to supply other places. It determines our attitude, our character. We first must fill the reservoir with something. The first question I want to ask each and every one of you is the same question I have to ask myself. What condition is your heart in today? Where is your thoughts? Where is your soul? Where is the things that come within from you? We are all born, each and every one of us, with a sinful heart. We are all born bent to the dark, to evil, to the things of this world. It is pure, it's defiled. The question is your heart pure? Is it defiled? Or is it bent towards God? Or is it bent toward the worldly ways? Is it bent towards godly wisdom or manly wisdom? How do you tell what your heart condition is? We have to examine ourselves. Each and every time, the graduates in here that are here and all the youth know, we talk about examining ourselves each and every day. We have to examine ourselves for our heart condition because the evidence of it is what comes out of our mouth. What comes out of our mouth is actually coming from our heart. Proverbs 2, 6 and 7 say, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom from the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity." Wisdom is stored in our heart, our thoughts, and our mind, which make up our complete soul. How you are thinking is a true measure of where your heart is. Those aren't the outward things. Those are the things that God truly sees. Mark 7, 20 through 23, "That which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles of man. For from out of our heart of men proceeds the evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murders, adulteresses, deeds of convicting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All of these evil things proceed from within and defile a man." These things are put into us from birth. Jesus says here that these thoughts are what defile a man. These are the things we are to work to keep out of our minds. But is it something that we can do on our own? No. We are born sinners with a defiled heart. God is the one who cleans our heart. You must guard your heart from defilement. So how do we do that? The first three things that come to my mind is we must focus on keeping our hearts fresh and pure in God's word, full and large in God's righteousness, flowing and active in his holiness. The only way to do these things is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God being the only source for the filling of our reservoir. So the breakdown of the three points of this verse, I'm going to give them to you right off so you can follow through. The first one, this verse has a command, a duty that we're to do. Two, we're going to look at the difficulty of this command. Three, the desire to do this command. So one, the command, guard, watch your heart. This is our responsibility. This is not something that someone else can do. And the guarding of the heart is after God gives you the new heart, the cleansing. First, by one, putting to death the sin within our hearts. Christ does this in the beginning, regeneration by Christ. Colossians 3, 5, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Go down to verse 12. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Down to verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Christ gives us a new heart, and we are to guard it with the things we have come from. Our hearts are purified by Christ and renewed by him, but then it is our responsibility to keep it from being defiled. How does this happen? Give your heart to Christ in a true repentance and seeking him. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27 says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idolatry. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from you, flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my obedience. Guard your heart, his command. You will be careful to observe my obedience. Walk in my statutes. So as we see, crucifying your mind in Colossians 3 puts evil thoughts to death. Then you can go to Galatians 5, 24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This book of wisdom truly proves its word from front to back. So why do we question it so much? And why do we, so many of us, put this on a shelf and leave it for dust? It is the sword that will pierce your heart. We must deal with sinful thoughts with lethal force to have the evil thoughts put out of our heart. We need to kill them. We need to choke them out of our lives. They will destroy you if you don't destroy them first. So why do we treat the new heart that God gives us to such rebellion, to such evil, to such things of this world? One, we're of the flesh, and we will never be pure until we are on the other side of heaven in the presence of the glory of God. So after we know that we are putting evil thoughts to death, it's an active way. We also need to bring and put restraints on our own heart to those things. We must have self-control. We must exercise this in what we put into our eyes, our ears, and what we see in the rest of Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, 24 through 27, put away from your deceitful mouth. Put devourous speech far from you. telling us to not do these things. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight forward, looking at Christ and Christ the Word alone. Looking right and left is distraction. It's things that are going to lead us astray. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. If you're grounded in God's word, his wisdom, your feet will be directed in the straight path. Do not turn to the right nor the left. Turn your feet from evil. Keep your eye on God's glory and God's word alone. Saying it simply, we must guard our ears, our lips, our step, and our direction. We must watch what we watch, what we read, what we listen to. We must spend our time on profitable things. Are you gathering, are you guarding against these sinful actions of your flesh? We should be focused on God and his word of pure wisdom and not the world's. Our prayer should be, God, please turn my eyes from these worthless things and turn them to you and you alone. Along with this control, one thing that we know God gives us is emotions in our life. We feel emotions from everything. Are all emotions bad? No. God gave them to us for a reason. But he warns us in James 3, 13 through 14, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show you his good behavior, his deeds in gentleness and wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish abasement in your heart, do not be ignorant, arrogant, and so lie against the truth. Do not let emotions run your life. Do not let them make your decisions for your life. Check them in God's word. Number two, the difficulty of the command. So the first one we've seen, we have to have an active role. This is not something that we can sit back and not do. But we have an active role in guarding our heart. But number two, the difficulty of the command. It's not easy. We're bombarded by sin everywhere. You turn on the TV, talking to people out in public, trying to live the life that God wants us to. We will be bombarded by sin. So the difficulty of this, of guarding our heart, is addressed here. It says, watch over your heart. Just a little bit? Just a little bit? No. With all. And we know when the word all is used in Scripture, there's no exception. All diligence. That means with all our might, all of our body. The command is that we are to be active guarding our heart and does not come natural to us. It is a struggle, guys. I struggle with it. It's a struggle on a daily basis to, one, check my heart against Scripture. Two, to make sure it's refined in God and not in me. The same goes for you. It's not going to be easy. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. And who can understand it? Only God. Only God. Genesis 8:21, from the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. We are given the evil heart, but Christ is the answer on purifying that heart. The struggle here is real. We are born sinful. Our sinful desires is to want to sin. So we, look guys, we talk all the time in youth, and it goes for each and every one of us. If sin was bad and we had immediate consequence for it, we wouldn't do it. But it's fun and it's enjoyable in when we do it. But the intent started in your heart before you even conceived the sin.
So if our heart is bent to His word, will our actions be the same? It says our actions come from our heart. Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. There's the promise from God. Every sin's a struggle. We walk through it. We've seen it. We looked at Matthew 15:19 through 20. Our heart wants the sin, but Christ is more powerful than all sin. You cannot trust your own heart too little. You can never trust God too much. What a true statement. Do we trust God? How much do we trust God? You know, the easiest times to be convicted and to know our heart is just like we are. We're in church. We can look the part and be good in everything. But you know what? The true measure of each and every one of our hearts comes. It's not when we're here. The true measure of our heart that God knows from each and every one of us, if you want to see it, evaluate your time when you're alone, when no one else is around, when you're in the car by yourself. What do you listen to? What do you fill your time with by yourself? Is your intent to honor God, or is your intent to delight yourself in the worldly things? It's not easy, guys. Our life should look the same in private as it does in public. Does it? Isaiah 66:2 says, "For my hand made all these things, thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to the one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word." Do you take this lightly, or do you take it as the word of God that one day he will be the one to judge us? He is the only judge. If God is to have our heart, he must have it all. Matthew 22:37. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all of your mind." Verse 38. This is the greatest, the great and foremost commandment. The most important word in these is all. It's not just a little. It's all. It's everything. Is it your passion? Is it your desire? Is it in your mind? Is it in your soul? Is it down to your feet? Does it move you? Does it motivate you? Does it give you the desire to go out that door and to shine the light of Christ? Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will reap. You have to go back. Are you consuming your life with God, or are you consuming your life with the things of this world? These people that are out there, out in the streets, they don't even know what they're picketing for. Where is their desire? Is it to honor God and to be glorified? Or is it a selfish thing? Is it something that they want to do and shine the light on them? I tell the kids all the time, and I tell myself all the time, that as we grow in God's word, his solid wisdom, we must decrease and he must increase. That is the true impact of humility. that he talks about in the scripture. When we are humble and we know God is who he is and he sits on that throne with Jesus on his right side, our intercessor. Point number three, the desire to fulfill. I mean, we just looked at a big part of that. The desire should be all-consuming. We must watch over our heart with all diligence, for it flows the spring of life from our heart, from our thoughts, from our body, from our whole being, our soul that God gives us, which, mind you, no other creature on earth has. The difference between us and our dog is they don't have the soul that God controls. So from that is what flows from us. These are the verses that we looked at earlier about what comes out of our mouth is the picture of our soul, the picture of what has been put in and what comes out. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived, for God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will reap. Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the result of his deeds. Revelations 2:23, and I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the mind and the heart, and I will give to each one of his according to his deeds. Psalms 44:20, if we had forgotten the name of our God or extended our hands to a stranger in God, would not God find this out? For he knows the secrets of our heart. The scripture's full of these. The scripture speaks of the heart so many times. The fact is, in the whole Bible, in his word, 683 times the heart is mentioned in the scripture. 570 of those in the Old Testament alone. 113 in the New Testament. And the 113 point back to the Old Testament to show what he said is true even to today. Why guard our hearts? So that we may be presented to God with pure springs flowing from us with holiness and righteousness found in these waters of God. And you know what? If you're not a child of God, you can't have a pure heart. You don't have a pure heart. The only way that heart can be pure is you must seek God in repentance and ask for forgiveness for sins. And then acknowledge him and he will renew your heart. You need a new heart. You need to seek Christ. Psalms 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew steadfast spirit within me. If you're one that is seeking, we'd love to talk to you. If you have questions, our pastor's here. He would love to talk to you. Any of our deacons, elders. We all want to seek clean hearts, pure hearts. Graduates, guard your hearts. For it, everything flows. Guard it from the world. Guard it and be bent only to God's word. Let us pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, your wisdom, your words pierce our hearts, pierce our soul. Lord, in James, you say, if we lack wisdom, we shall seek you and you will give with abundance. Lord, I pray today that we would seek you for the wisdom. Seek you first for a clean heart. than seek you to fill it up pure. And Lord, may we be found diligent in guarding our hearts from these impure ways and impure thoughts, and even just being negligent and just wasting time on things that aren't from above. Lord, we thank you for this day. We give you the glory for your word and direction in our life. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Please stand.